verses 1 through 7. So I'll read it, we'll pray, then we'll get started. It says this: Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, according to the promise of the life that is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my beloved child, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve, as did my ancestors, with a clear conscience, as I remember you constantly in my prayers, night and day. As I remember your tears, I long to see you that I may be filled with joy. I'm reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and now I am sure dwells in you as well. For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power and love and self-control. Father, we thank you for this word for us, God, that you preserved. Thank you that your word is living and active, and it's sharp. It's able to go to the deepest parts of us, Lord. And so I ask, God, that you would help us, Lord, as we come before your word, that you'd help us to bring our distractions to you, God. We just lay down everything that's on our minds right now, Lord. Any concerns or cares that we have, God, we give those things to you. And we pray that you give us ears to hear what your word says, and that you give us hearts, Lord, that would long to be obedient, to walk in the fullness of what you have for us, God. So we pray you'd have your way in us. In Jesus' name, amen. Good brother, thank you. 2 Timothy chapter 1. We spent a lot of our time in 1 Timothy, right? And so 1 Timothy was talking about how to conduct ourselves in the house of God, right? What does it look like to have right behavior in God's house? And Paul was writing this letter to Timothy to help him because he was at the church at Ephesus and there were a lot of issues. There was false teaching. There's all kinds of things going on. There are all kinds of problems, and Paul was addressing those things in his first letter to Timothy. And we looked at the background that they had, right? The history that Paul and Timothy had together. We see in the book of Acts that Timothy was probably a young boy when he first met Paul, that Timothy came to faith in Christ, and he had a good reputation among the believers in the church. And so when Paul comes there, he actually takes him along for his missionary journeys. And eventually, Timothy is sent to Ephesus to help restore what needs to be restored. He's there to bring health to the church. And so Paul told him in 1 Timothy, hey, remain in Ephesus. I know it's hard, but stay there. We're not sure how much time has passed between 1 Timothy and 2 Timothy, but it's clear from 2 Timothy 2:22 that Timothy's probably still young. Paul tells him, flee youthful lusts. The Apostle Paul's situation has changed a little bit since 1 Timothy. He's now in prison, and so he's writing this letter from prison, from Rome. I've actually seen this place. A little dungeon, has one little hole in the up top, so a little bit of light comes through. You think of such a dark place, such a tough time in life, and you're like, wow, how could you write scripture from that place in prison? But Paul was always concerned, not just with himself and his own safety, but he's concerned with Timothy knowing what to do. What am I supposed to do? Paul is concerned with passing the torch to Timothy, right? In this book, we're going to see in chapter 4 that the Apostle Paul's time is running out. He's about to die. He says that the time of my departure is at hand. I'm about to leave this world. And if you've ever been with someone who is on their deathbed or is facing certain death, you know that their last words are very important. People start tuning in. Okay, what is this person saying? What is the advice they're giving me, the counsel? What are their regrets? All these things start coming out when someone is facing death. And for the Apostle Paul, this is like a love letter to Timothy. He's really pouring out his heart in this letter. He's putting his heart in his sleeve. And he's saying, Timothy, I love you. And we're going to see as we look into it, in verses 1 through 2, Paul's heart for Timothy. Right? He has a standard introduction. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, according to the promise of the life that is in Christ Jesus. This life that he was soon to experience in eternity. He's reminding himself, I've been called, I'm an apostle, these are my credentials, according to the promise of life that is in Christ Jesus. I love how the apostle Paul, the more he gets on in his walk with God, the more he's looking forward to that. He's reminding Timothy, hey, what we have is a living hope. There's eternal life awaiting, and I'm facing this soon. But Timothy, I'm passing the torch on to you. And so it's the job of every generation of Christians, to be faithful with the gospel, to be faithful with this message, and to pass it down to the following generation. It's our God-given duty. We have a responsibility by God to do that. And so he writes to Timothy, he says, to Timothy, my beloved child. When we look at 1 Timothy, we see when he, in his introduction, he says, to Timothy, my true child in the faith, right? Here he says, Timothy, my beloved child. As he's gone on with Timothy, the love has grown even more. And he's unashamed to show his love to Timothy. And I love this, and we talked about this a little bit in the last series, but I want to reiterate this. Because we are the family of God, and if you remember Timothy's situation, his father wasn't really in the picture. Seems like his father was an unbeliever. Paul adopts him as his own spiritual son. And so as we think of our last series, and we think of Paul and his heart for Timothy, we see that he's willing to be unashamed in showing his affection for Timothy. Even though he has great theology, he knows all the ins and outs of Scripture, the temptation for us is going to be to have cold hearts. It's so easy to be a Pharisee, is it not? Like, you get in a conversation with someone, they say, oh, I believe this. And you're like, you're wrong because it's in here. We get proud because of the knowledge that we have. But Paul is saying, Timothy, I love you. These things that I'm telling you, it's because I love you. You're my beloved child in the faith. He blesses Timothy at the last part of verse 2. He says, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. Timothy, everything that you need is in Christ Jesus. If you're going to succeed in ministry, if you're going to finish this race well, you need the grace, mercy, and peace that come from Jesus Christ and God the Father. I love this pattern though, right? Because this is what we're called to do with each other. We're called to walk faithfully with our God. We're called to raise people up. We're called to pour into people, to love people. Some of you guys in AACF, some of the leadership is graduating soon. That's going to leave room for other people to step up in leadership. The torch is being passed to you. And we're going to look at how we can finish well in our walk with God and in the context that God calls us to minister. Notice in verse 3 through 5, Paul remembers Timothy. He says, I thank God whom I serve, as did my ancestors, with a clear conscience, as I remember you constantly in my prayers, night and day. And so Paul is remembering Timothy in a few ways, and we see here in verse 3, in his prayers constantly. Paul is like, man, I think about you, Timothy. I pray for you constantly. I love this heart because even though he's in prison, he's not allowing a situation to limit him, right? How many of us, when we go through our own personal prisons or we feel restricted or bound, what's our response usually? For me, it's to complain. It's like, why does God have me in this situation? What did I do to deserve this? Paul doesn't go there. Paul says, you know what? Even though I'm in prison, I'm still going to pray for you, Timothy. This is an opportunity for me to press into God, to lift Timothy up before the Lord. It's not just about me and my personal freedom. It's about the kingdom of God. And so I'm able to make the most out of this time when I feel restricted and bound. I'm able to remember Timothy in prayer. Notice in verse 4, what else does Paul remember? He says, as I remember your tears, I long to see you that I may be filled with joy. And so Paul's like, I remember you crying. I remember your tears. We're not sure exactly why. Maybe because they were parting ways. But it's clear that Timothy was sad. He cried. And Paul says, you know what? I see your tears. Man, real men cry. I'm a crier sometimes. It's healthy and it's good to be able to have those feelings and show those feelings, right? Something's off if we're not able to show that affection and to weep when situations are sad. Timothy was unashamed. I'm crying, I miss you. And Paul says, I remember your tears. I remember this one guy, one of my Bible college teachers, he was teaching through Timothy, and he wasn't the most gifted at teaching, people didn't think, but the guy was crying like half of the time he was crying as he's teaching it. And you could just see, wow, this guy really loves the Lord. He really loves us. He's not just trying to like preach to us all the accurate details of Timothy, but he was just crying. He's saying, guys, let's love each other. God loves you. I want you to walk in all that God has for you. And that always stuck with me because the heart is so important to God, right? Obviously, we're all going to have a different capacity in what we're gifted to do, but the heart is irreplaceable. It always stuck with me. This guy's tears as he's teaching through Timothy. I love you guys. We love God together. May this be reflected in how we minister as well. Paul says in verse 5, I am reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and now I am sure dwells in you as well. I love this. Paul remembers Timothy's sincere faith. I love the legacy that's being left here. If you notice verse 5, he says, Timothy, I'm reminded of your sincere faith. Who did it dwell in first? Your grandma. And then it was in your mother. And now it's in you. The temptation that you might feel if you were raised up in the church and your parents are Christian, and what people might say and you might think sometimes is that my faith is maybe less genuine because I don't have a crazy testimony. I wasn't out there going wild, dealing drugs, or doing some crazy things. We're tempted to look at our lives and say, you know what, maybe I'm not the real thing. Maybe I have to go through some things to make sure my faith is genuine. And Paul is saying here to Timothy, that's not the case. It's possible to be raised in a Christian household and have genuine faith. This is encouraging to us. A testimony of God's faithfulness isn't just seen by God delivering someone out of a crazy lifestyle. It's also seen in God preserving people from evil as well. God preserving you from making the wrong choices. God could have let you go, but he didn't. In his grace, he brought you in. He says, I'm going to keep you. You're going to have a testimony of my faithfulness. And so if that's your testimony, don't neglect that. Don't listen to the lies of the enemy. When you're thinking about sharing with your friend about the gospel, and they're like, dude, you just grew up in the church. That's why you believe. Paul's saying to Timothy, no, your faith is genuine. It's not just because you grew up in a Christian family. You're the real thing. Your heart is soft. You've responded to the Lord. Don't allow the lies of the enemy to keep you silent in your witness for Christ. This speaks of the importance of leaving a godly legacy. I love seeing grandmas in the church, mothers raising their children in the ways of the Lord. It's so amazing to see because it's like we're all like these like links in a chain. And there's people who have gone before us, as Paul says in verse 3, my ancestors served God, and now I'm serving God. And now he's saying to Timothy, your grandma began this legacy. Your mother has it. You have genuine faith. And now for you parents, it's your responsibility to raise your children up in the ways of the Lord. You grandparents, it's your responsibility to pray for your kids, to pray for your grandkids. Don't just assume that because they're raised up in a Christian home, everything's going to be okay. Because clearly, that's not the case. There are people who walk away from the Lord, and they're raised up in Christian households. We have to be very purposeful in how we pray for our kids, in how we love our kids, and how we instruct them in the ways of the Lord. And also thinking, how are we modeling to them the ways of God? How am I modeling to them the things I say I believe about God? If I say that I believe in the grace of God, how am I modeling that to my children? If I say that God is patient, it's so easy to lose it. I don't have kids, but I can imagine. I was a kid. It's tough. If your kid's acting up, you want to just be like, ah. Lord, help us to model to our children the things that we say we believe, that we would leave a godly legacy, and that we would understand that they're going to turn out right by God's grace, right? We leave the results with him. We say, God, help me to do my part, to love them and pray for them and instruct them, but to know that they're in your hands. And so we bring them before the throne of grace. And so Timothy, this is his story. His father, it seems, was absent. He wasn't a spiritual leader, but his mother stepped up. His grandma stepped up. And I love that. Even if you came from a dysfunctional family, God can still move. Even if your father and mother didn't play a part in your spiritual walk, God has people. He has brothers and sisters and fathers and mothers in the church. Think about the people who have blessed you in your walk with Christ. Think about the people who have poured into you. It's amazing how God fills in the gap, right? The things that we lack, that we didn't receive growing up, God will meet us, and he'll sow into us through these people. And so as we're thinking about carrying the torch, like these people are passing it on to us, it's our turn to carry that torch and be faithful with the gospel. When you're struggling, when you don't know what to make sense of, how to make sense of life or direction or where God's calling you, you've got to remember these things. God has been faithful. He has a long record of being faithful, and he's not going to stop. He's going to continue to be faithful to you as well. In verses 5, second part of verse 5,